listening to Reading Glasses, a show about book culture and literary life designed to help you read better. I'm author and book devourer, Mallory O'Meara.
And I'm Bria Grant, filmmaker and e-reader. Wow, did you hear the way I said my name? It sounded like Breer. Breer Grant.
Breer. Old Breer Grant.
That's how you say it where I'm from. This episode, we're giving tips on managing your ever-growing, very long TBR. We're solving a problem about buying too many books, and we're recommending some sci-fi books with space archaeology.
Wait, first, Bria, what are you reading?
I'm reading a book that you recommended to me, I think, a couple years ago. It's been on my list for a second. It is called The Heartbreak Bakery by A.R. Capetta.
Oh, yeah. This is Hot Glasser book.
I think you just saw it. We were like, I think you'd like this because it involves magical baking.
You love a magical food book.
Yeah, it's about this teenager named Sid who works at a local bakery in Austin and goes through a breakup. And the breakup causes Sid to first makes these brownies, right? There's these brownies, and Sid makes these brownies and notices that everyone who eats the brownies in the bakery also breaks up. And then Sid realizes, oh, I have a magical baking skill, and starts trying to make specific foods and baked goods that will achieve specific things for people in Sid's life. Sid has no pronouns at the point where I'm reading it. I don't know if by the end, I don't know what this journey is. So it's a queer love story for those who love that, which is, I feel like, a lot of the Glassers, with magical realism. And also there is a love story, not just like Sid's breakup, but there's a person who comes into the bakery a lot, and there's a cute little romance happening with that person who's like a bike delivery baked goods person, which is the most Austin job I've ever heard in my life. And I just texted two of my friends from Austin and I was like, have y'all read this? Because it's so cute. And it, you know, they go to Barton Springs and they go to all these like Austin-y places where I'm like, oh, they're talking about like this street that I know about. So I'm really enjoying it because not only is it like referencing all these places that I know, but also it's just like a really cute, magical realism, very sweet love story, very like, I wouldn't call it cozy necessarily because there is a breakup and it is quite sad and a lot of people are breaking up and then they're like kind of getting back together. But I feel like it is it's a nice chill romance, I would say. Chill romance, chill book.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a one level down from cozy.
Well, chill is kind of like the opposite of cozy. What's like just like it's comfortable. It's not cozy. It's comfortable. It's a comfortable
temperature. Comfy book.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. What about you? What are you reading?
Well, I realized that we only have about a month and a half until we have to do our best books of the year halftime show. And
oh,
I realized,
oh my God, I haven't read hardly any new books.
Yeah. I had that thought the other day and I looked at my book buddy and I was like, I'm not reading enough 2024 books. So I did a massive download from NetGalley and now I'm starting to read some. This is a book that's coming out this summer. It comes out at the end of July. I think it's going to be of interest to many Glassers. It's called Castle of the Cursed by Romina Garber, and it is a YA gothic romance. It's like the setup is very classic. It's about this young girl. I think she's 16, and her dad's a PI and her mom's a journalist. So she drives around the country with them. They're kind of just travel all the time. They're not settled. They don't have like one home. They're in New York City and she's with her parents on a subway car. And while they're traveling somewhere, all of a sudden, at the same time, there's a bright flash and everybody dies at the same time except for her.
Oh, my God.
And so the government starts investigating it. No one knows why this happened. And in the meantime, she's in this hospital. She's being taken, like the government is paying for her. She's become kind of a ward of the state. She finds out that she never thought she had any relatives. Her parents were always really like dodgy about their past. She thought her parents were Argentinian. Turns out that's not true. She gets contacted by this aunt from Spain and, this aunt that she's never heard of who lives in this ancestral Spanish castle in this tiny little town. And so she goes there to live with this aunt. And of course, everything that her parents told her about her past is completely untrue. Mm. And she gets there. And of course, the castle is kind of spooky. And everybody in the small town, she realizes, is covering up some secrets. And she realizes that some of the family secrets that she's uncovering in this castle are maybe connected to this weird way that her parents and all these other people died in the subway car. And there's like a romance with this weird boy that might be a ghost. And it's like, it's so gothic, but it's modern at the same time. It's just really compelling. It's really fun. I'm about a fourth of the way through and I just can't wait to get back to it. I'm really enjoying it. Again, comes out in July. So that's Castle of the Cursed by Romina Garber.
Mine's The Heartbreak Bakery by A.R. Capetta.
So we want to take a moment to share some listener feedback. Mike wrote in to say, "Hi, Bri and Mallory. I am a high school English teacher for over 30 years, and I love your podcast, and I've been listening to it for years, and I've written to you a few times. You even read one of my emails on one of your podcasts. Boy, did that make my day, and shared that with my friends. We're doing it again. I look forward to listening and hearing all the book recommendations and what you have to say about all things book related. I tell everyone I know, so many teachers, to listen to your podcast. Thank you very much. Plus, both of you crack me up. Both of you have infectious laughs. And when you both find something funny, usually I am laughing along too. I run a book club at my high school for any staff who want to participate. And we just read The Reading List by Sarah Nisha Adams, book that Bria loves. As part of our discussion and inspired by your reading glasses challenge, all the members of the book club made a list of the 10 books that represented them. I put them all on a Google Doc and then shared them with everyone in the book group. So now we have tons of book recommendations." Oh, this is really cute.
Yeah, it's so cute.
"Thanks for having this challenge for the year. We all had fun discussing our 10 titles. I also liked how you talked about how you both went about compiling your 10 best books. Thanks again for the great podcast. Keep on doing the great work." This would be such a fun thing to do for a book club. I love this idea.
I know. Now I might steal this for my book club. That's a really cool idea. I love that.
Mike, that is wait. That's hot book club tip.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Carlton wrote in and said, "Hey, Bri and Mallory, writing to you with a hot book tip I've been keeping to myself for a while now. I love reading while traveling, and I become attached to the metro cards, concert tickets, or even napkins I end up using as bookmarks as tangible memories of the trip. A few years back, I realized that a small hole punch and a $5 pack of gold tassels could turn my impromptu bookmarks into a personal and very official looking keepsake from my trips." Oh, that's really nice. I love that idea.
This is also a hot book tip.
Very hot. "I have dozens now, but I found that Metro cards, library cards, and membership cards tend to be my favorites, and they really do seem to be a tangible connection to the place where I first use them. Every time I read a book set in England, I always use my Oyster card, that's the London Metro, as it's a direct emotional connection to my first time in the country. Hope this is something that will bring joy to other glassers out there. It certainly has for me." That is such
a
great idea.
Super hot book tip.
Just a little, do you think, okay, wait. Like, so you have the Metro card and then punch a hole and then just put a little tassel on it so you know it's a bookmark. Okay. I love that idea. So cute.
And what's great about that is that when you go back to London, you can take off the tassel and reuse your Oyster
card. You definitely can. But you haven't poked a hole in the wrong part. But yeah.
I love it. And then Carlton's wheelhouse is short chapters, especially its correspondence. It's a new hot thing. Optimistic/an unjaded protagonist, exploring the unknown, dream jobs you didn't know existed, and characters motivated by something other than romance. You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com if you want a list of all the books we talk about on the show delivered to your inbox every month. You can sign up for our newsletter. There's a link in the show notes. And before we give tips on TBR management, we're going to take a quick break.
Reading Glasses is brought to you in part this week by Dipsy. Enemies to lovers, chance encounters, a slow burn, or friends become more. Whatever your favorite romance trope, Dipsy has a spicy audio story just for you. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes, realistic characters, and you can discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups. And there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods, and goddesses, Regency era historical fiction, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. Y'all, you know you're tuning in for that. You know you want the werewolves, the Greek gods, and the fairy smut. This is all coming to you from Dipsy. And hey, new content is released every week. So in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore. Dipsy, you know that this is a service that we love. We love that they advertise with us. It isn't just about pleasure anymore, just so you know. Dipsy is about getting lost in captivating narratives that leave you breathless. A world where romance novels meet captivating storytelling. So all of you people who love romance, there's all kinds of stuff on Dipsy and it is there for you. They are really wanting you, if you like romance, to go check out Dipsy. And we agree, you should go check out Dipsy. So for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/glasses. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to Dipsy, D-I-P-S-E-A stories.com/glasses. dipsystories.com/glasses. Glasses.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
This week, we're helping you manage your TBR. Too long, too chaotic, too overwhelming? Come on down to Brian Mallory's TBR Center and let us give your TBR a tune-up. I imagine we both wear a lot of coveralls, so...
Yeah, that's right. Comfortable. They're comfortable. Wow, that's right. Come on down to the TBR tune-up. We, like, take the list and we're like, okay, we can handle
we
it.
We, like, we get on one of those, like, little boards with the wheels on it and, like, slide under your TBR to give it a peek.
For some reason, there's noises that sound like those loud, like, car noises. They're like, wow, wow, you know? Like, they're like, what are they doing under there?
Yeah. So your TBR, which stands for to be read, is a list or a pile of books that you want to read. But because a heap of new books comes out literally every single week, your TBR can quickly become gigantic and unwieldy, making it maybe more stressful than helpful. Maybe you look at some of these books and say, man, why did I even put this on here? Mm-hmm. Do I really want to read all of these? Here are our favorite tips for keeping your TBR useful. Okay, let's start out for our tips for making a TBR list. Bria, so you have a digital TBR, right?
Yes. I have a digital one, but I also have a shelf. We just did a bookshelf tour, and so I have to admit, I have a shelf in my house of books that I haven't read. It's mostly comics that I keep on a shelf. But mine is just simply, it's on my phone, it's in the Notes app, and then I kind of, that one is combined with the library wish list that I use for the LA Public Library. It has a library wish list section where you can just put books you want, and that's the one I mainly use. The one on my phone is a million pages long, and the one at the library is not a million, it's like 1,000, not really, but it is long. But it's not a system that anyone could understand but me, but basically the one on my phone is like, don't worry, you'll never forget that you want to read these books. One of the libraries like, don't worry, you don't have that many books to read. That's it. They're both like there for separate things that will ease my mind. But for me, this works. What about you?
Yeah. So mine is split between a to-be-purchased list and a to-be-read list.
Okay.
So I keep a digital list in my BookBuddy app of books that I hear about wherever. You know, it's online, from friends, an article I saw that seems like I would want to read them. And so I add them to my BookBuddy list. And then I keep a physical TBR on my book cart with the backlist organized by genre and the front list all put on one shelf. Imagine it's like a little, not a Rube Goldberg machine, but it's like a weird intake thing where I acquire a book and it's like a drop down chart of where it could go. Mm. If it is a book for that year, like let's say I got a new book, it's 2024, it's in print, it goes on the top shelf. If I buy a book and it's not 2024, it gets shelved on the other areas of that cart. So that's me making my physical print TBR cart. And if it's just like a title that I see, then it goes into the BookBuddy. Speaking of, let's talk about adding to our TBR. You have two digital ones. I have a digital one and a physical one. How do we add to our TBRs? What are your tips here?
I mean, look, as is probably clear, there's no right way to TBR because Mallory and I do it. We both have our very specific ways that mm-hmm. probably no one else is using. And that keeps us feeling complete. Like it feels for me, I think it's just like you need to find a system that works for you. Right. So I think for me, it's helpful to have a digital one. I just have it in the Notes app, but you could also have a physical one. You can have anything that you know you'll actually keep up with. That's the key, right? It's like, oh, do I need to put it in a Google Doc so I can access it from anywhere at any time? Does it need to be on my phone? Like, what is the thing that you know that you will use? And if you find you're not using it or you're adding stuff and you're never calling it or whatever reason, like you look into why that is.
Yeah, I think Bria and I are basically awash in a sea of book recommendations at all times. So I think both of us would find it really overwhelming to have to write these down physically, because it would be as long as a CVS receipt at all times. But if you are a person who is like, I don't think I'm going to remember these unless I write them down, or I have this really cute journal and I like spending time with it, again, it's all about what you're actually going to use. And if you find that you have a hard time remembering why you put a book on your TBR, which I think a lot of people do, do not waste time researching these books. Like, just make some notes. Like, if you always find that you are looking at your TBR and you're like, what is this book? Where did this come from? Where did I even find out? Like, you're just, I feel like you're less likely to read that book, because you're like, I don't want to have to look this up all over again. Add a note, whether it's on a spreadsheet or in a notes app or in a notebook. Write the wheelhouse items down, right? Where you got the recommendation from, right? The doorway. Write down whatever made you want to read it, because then you, I feel like if you do that, you are way more likely to read it in the future. If your TBR is huge, maybe you want to consider organizing it in some way as well. That's another thing. Like, keeping a, even it just like very simple by genre sections, I think could help a lot of people out if they're looking at their TBR and finding it overwhelming. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But speaking of that, if you are finding it overwhelming, you do need to weed these things regularly, right? If it's 1,000 books long and you're like, oh, I don't care if it's 1,000 books long, don't worry about it. That's great. But if it's feeling overwhelming, if it's feeling like homework, you may need to do some trimming, right?
So do you do that? Do you trim your TBR?
I do, like almost every week. I try not to get over certain pages on my library wish list. That's kind of my, like, you know, one that I keep short. But the one on my phone is long, and that one, like, I go through and I kind of see what, like, the oldest book on there is. And I'm like, do I still want to read this book? But basically, like, every time I get a new book from the library, I add a new book to the list, I try to take a book off the list. Because if I look at a book and I'm not excited about it right now, I should take that book off the list. You know, here's the thing, the book is not going to disappear and it will come back up. If it's a book that you're supposed to read, I swear to God, it comes back up. And so I wish it was a one-to-one, like every time I add one, I take one off. It's not quite that, but I try to do that. What about you? Are you culling that TBR?
Oh yeah. And I think that's a good tip, is like, I trimming your TBR should be directly proportional to how often you add things to it. You know, if you are adding things to it every week, you should be looking at it pretty regularly. If you only add books to it maybe once a month, then you don't have to do it as often. I weed both my digital list and my book cart every few months. For both, I do the same thing. I go through them and use the excitement test. If I look at a title and, like, just not knowing anything about it, if I look at the book and the short description and I'm like, why is this here? Mm-hmm. I'm like, not worth it. There's a million books I have to read. But if I look at it and I'm like, oh, I remember this looked really, really good, I keep it on there. The good thing, I really like having my physical TBR in my little book cart, because it keeps it, like, I can't, like, the cart can only hold so much. I can't have too many 2024 books because I only have that one shelf, or it will look really messy and that'll make my eyeballs itch. So what I'll do every few months with the cart is I'll go through everything, take everything off, and take anything that doesn't seem exciting, and I'll replace it with books that do look fun and I do want to read. I actually love doing this. I really look forward to it, like a weekend day, like a Sunday afternoon, doing all my little Sunday week prep things.
Yeah, same.
Sit down. Oh, I think it's so great. And I'm the same way. I'm a very firm believer that book recs will always come back around. Like, if a book that you're not sure about and it keeps coming back, like, you keep hearing people talk about it, you keep seeing it in articles, you keep seeing it on social media, like, these, again, we always say a book is not going to catch on fire and wink out of existence if you take it off your TBR.
Hopefully not.
If I'm not sure about a book, I'll leave it off the list. But if I keep seeing it, maybe I'll put it back on there. That's the thing, is like, taking a book off your TBR doesn't mean you're banishing it. Like, you can always add it back, you know? Remember, we're always changing as readers. Our tastes are shifting constantly. Maybe you put that book on your TBR a year ago and that thing that made you put it on there, it's not even in your wheelhouse anymore and you don't want to read about it.
Yeah. You've read like 30 books on it and you're like, I'm kind of done with this time for the time being. You can take it off your list. Don't feel like you have to keep that on your list. It will come, if you're suddenly like, oh, I'm back into sharks or whatever, that shark book will come back up to you.
Yes. Really, your TBR is just a list of books that you are prioritizing that suit you right now. And
this is literally making me want to call my TBR list as having this conversation. There's something about this that I was like, ooh, I do like getting rid of things and like getting rid of stuff that no longer suits me. And I feel like this is, oh, wow, I'm going to go call that list right after this.
Yeah, I think it's important for all of us to remember that your TBR is a tool for you to use. Mm-hmm. It serves you. It is not the boss of you. It's not like a thing that you make and then you are beholden to it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's no right way to have one. The only right way is a way that you use it regularly and it is useful to you and it doesn't make you want to pull your eyeballs out of your head. Mm-hmm. Like, however that is, if that is 5 books long that you keep on a list on your phone, if that is 1,000 books that you keep on Libby, like Bria does not matter. That the question you ask is this serving me right now? Mm-hmm. And if it isn't, try these tips and making it a little better. Do you have any final TBR thoughts?
No, I think Mallory's right. Like, it should serve you. And if, look, you have a complicated system like we do, that's okay. If you have a very easy system, that's also okay. I think what's important is, like, as a reader, we're going to have to be read lists, yep. And just making sure that yours fits you and your lifestyle.
Yes. So you can send your thoughts on TBR list to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Before we solve a book buying problem, we're going to take a quick break.
Reading Glasses is sponsored in part this week by Miracle Made. You know, you go to bed at night and you're like, I just want a cozy bed. I want something that really is making my sleep better. I want a place where I feel comfortable. I want some soft sheets. Guess what? Miracle Made is here for you. Inspired by NASA, Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics and makes temperature-regulating bedding so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. These sheets are infused with silver that prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner and fresh 3 times longer than other sheets. No more gross odors. You can get in your bed and, look, you can be dirty. It's going to absorb that dirt. These sheets are great. Miracle sheets are luxuriously comfortable without the high price tag of other luxury brands. And they feel as nice, if not nicer, than some sheets used by 5-star hotels. So upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/glasses. If you order today, you get over 40% off. That's amazing. And if you use our promo glasses at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you get a full refund. Again, that's trymiracle.com/glasses to treat yourself to a free towel set and over 40% off. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. Glasses.
The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
Diablo 4.
Final Fantasy 16.
Street Fighter 6.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Starfield.
Spider-Man 2.
Master Detective Archives Rain Code for Nintendo Switch? No, is that just me?
It's a huge time for video games.
You need somebody to tell you what's good, what's not so good, and what's amazing.
I'm Jason Schreier.
I'm Maddie Myers.
And I'm Kirk Hamilton. We're the hosts of Triple Click, a video game podcast for anyone who likes games.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Time to solve a bookish problem from one of our listeners. Doug writes in, "Hi, Mallory and Bria. I have been a listener and fan since Sarah Benincasa." Oh my God, that was episode 1.
Wow. Thank you for sticking around. Amazing.
"I have a very first world reader dilemma that I hope maybe you can offer some advice on. My problem is BookBub. BookBub is a website that collects all the ebooks on sale and then sends you a daily email with recommendations based on your selected genre preferences."
Oh, I think I used to get this email as well.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. "My problem is that my virtual TBR has now become monstrously large. A haunted house book for 99 cents, of course I'm going to get it. It isn't even a dollar." So relatable. "I have begun forcing myself to actually not open each daily email from them and instead just opening a few of them each week. This, however, is causing real FOMO anxiety that I will miss the occasional classic that comes up in their offerings. If nothing else, please just tell me it's okay not to get every haunted house book out there, especially if I will die long before I could possibly read them all. Also, not gonna lie, some of the books I have gotten this way have not been great. Thanks for the wonderful shows and any help you can give a reader with more money than sense. Bria, can you read Doug's wheelhouse?"
Aaron Morgenstern, "Haunted Houses with Unexplainable Evils, Deep Sea Horror, and Polar Horror."
Love it. All right, Bria, what do you think Doug should do?
I mean, yeah, buying books on sale is cheap and it's fun. And but it's not always the best way to find books that you're going to like. If they're on sale and just on sale, solely on sale. That's the only reason you're buying it. Not recommended by anyone. You've never heard of it. You don't know the author. You are taking a risk. And the risk, look, could lead to a great payoff. But this is my way of saying, no, you don't have to buy all the on sale books. Because cheap doesn't necessarily mean better. Sometimes it does mean good. And this is coming from a woman who loves furniture from the side of the road, but had to stop because my husband is scared of bed bugs. I love... Listen, if something's on the side of the road, I'm like, ooh, do I need that? I don't know what it is. I'm going to just take it. Maybe I'll use it later. Oh, I love other people's shit. Not literally, but I just like there's, you know what I mean? But you don't necessarily need to go get it. I wonder if you need to stop these emails. I wonder if you need to stop them and you need to, or they need to come to you as a digest like once a week. And in that once a week email, you just pick one book, you know, or something. Or, you know, no books. But I think the email is coming every day. This is it's working against you in not buying these books. That is not going to make it easier for you to not buy the books. What do you think that Doug, longtime listener, should do?
Well, first off, I got to sympathize with Doug because I too want all the Haunted House books in the entire world. And especially if they're cheap. Doug, I really get it. If you listen to the show, you know I have the exact same problem. Mm. I think what Doug needs to do is make his wheelhouse more specific or beef up Doug's doghouse.
Okay.
Doghouse, if you will. I had to start doing this because something similar happened to me. So Doug, I'm here with you. I'm on the front lines with you. I used to pick up every single Haunted House book that I saw. And it also led me to read some books that I really didn't like. There was a couple books last year that were Haunted House books that I read and I was like, not for me. But looking back, if I had analyzed these books closer, I would have noticed that they had red flags for me as a reader. That stuff that is like very squarely in my doghouse. But my little puppy Haunted House brain was like, oh, Haunted House book, grab. Like I just wasn't being critical that in the way that I would be with other books. So I think Doug needs to sit down and make a list of things that always turn you off of a book. Mm. Don't be afraid to look at some of the reviews on these books before you buy them. If a book looks like it could go either way, put it on a list to check out at the library. Even at 99 cents, it's not worth it to buy a book that you're like, it could be good, it could not be good. That's what I think Doug should be doing, is that instead of buying these, just make a list. Try to only buy the ones that seem like slam dunks. Either, like you said, classics that you really want to read, authors that you know you'll like, or Haunted House books that look squarely in your wheelhouse. Because even though they're only 99 cents, you're still acquiring them. You are still putting them in this pile. So what I would do is, you have BookBuddy, which you should if you have an iPhone, because it's the best, my absolute favorite book tracking app. But just make a list of like Haunted House books that look good. And, you know, you already have way too much to read. If you look at it in 6 months and you're like, wow, there was that book that I was going to buy for 99 cents and it looked kind of good, and I put it on this list and I haven't thought about it, I haven't seen it, and now that I'm looking at it, it does not seem exciting to me, delete it off that list.
Don't you think it's also that, like, this is a deal for just today? And that's how, like, I mean, that's how the people
that's how
get you, you know, is with these deals where they're like, just today, if you do today, then, and that's how they, this is a selling tactic. So, yeah, I think you're right. Like delaying that and then being like, okay, like you could also pay $4 for it later. And like, and it's a book you actually like because you've done the research on it. And it might be,
or you can get it from the library and get it for no dollars.
$0. Yeah.
So I think that's what it is. Bria, you're totally right. There's always this like urgency that a lot of companies do, especially like these books are going to go on sale again. As an author, at least once a year, I get an email from my publisher that's like, hey, so-and-so title is going to go on sale on Amazon on this day for 99 cents or $2.99. Like, it's going to happen again. It's not like an end-all, be-all, like the only time that book is going to be 99 cents. But again, I think that's what you should do. Be more critical. Like Bria said, if it seems like it's a roll of the dice, like it could be really great or it could be not, put it on a list to get it at the library. Yeah. Like, then you'll know, only buy the stuff that seems really, really great. And then it'll be great because this list of books in your Kindle app is all books that you're going to be really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
So let us know if any of this helps. And again, I really understand you. Also, if you have any Haunted House book recommendations, let me know. So if you want to solve your reader problem, send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Now let's answer a recommendation request from Evan, who said, "Hi, Brian Mallory. Thank you for making the podcast. I started listening because I wanted to get back into reading again, and it worked.
Yay.
I am reading more than ever since I started listening to your podcast and enjoying it as much as I remember loving reading Wheel of Time when I was a kid. My favorite video game of all time is The Outer Wilds. You play as a member of a newly spacefaring species and search your solar system for artifacts of a much more scientifically advanced race that populated the solar system thousands of years ago, but is now extinct. So for a lot of the game, you are basically a space archaeologist slash anthropologist learning about this species that visited all the planets in your solar system and disappeared before your species had developed speech. Through your exploration, you learn the big things like how they went extinct, as well as small things like how their children played and relationships. I love the idea of the space archaeologist studying a long gone intelligent race. Are there any books that you can recommend with a similar idea? The closest I have found was Dan Simmons' Hyperion, and that is one of my all-time favorite books. So I think discovering and researching alien life is the white hot center of my wheelhouse. Bria, this is all you.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very specific question, but I think I have some thoughts. If you're up for hard sci-fi, which I think Hyperion is, I would start with Blindsight by Peter Watts. It's about a group of scientists going out to look for this particular radio signal, which of course is like aliens, and it's not clear like how long it's been there or how long they've been there, and it becomes this very like, you know, hard, like very sci-fi exploration. I think that's a really good one. It's hard because a lot of books about alien races aren't long gone. It's just like they're going and finding these currently living alien races. So that is a very specific ask. I also would say Sleeping Giants by Sylvain Neuvel, which is about a long gone race, but the artifact is actually, they find this giant hand buried in the earth. This giant, not a flesh and blood hand, but like a mechanical sort of hand. And they're like, what could this possibly be? And I think as long as you don't care if they don't go to space, this is an Earth-based thing, but it does turn out it is like, I mean, spoiler, there's like an alien aspect to it. And there's like three of them, but the first one does like finish the first story. And I love, this is such a cool book. Like I recommend this book all the time. And it's epistolary. I think it's told through journal entries or something. I can't remember. But I think you'd really dig that one. Mallory, what do you got?
Well, I literally left a note for Bria that was like, please recommend multiple books for this one because is not.
Both of those. Those are great ones.
Not my forte. But I will say the very first Reading Glasses Book Club book we ever did, I think might be good for Evan.
Oh, yeah.
It's Gods, Monsters, and the Lucky Peach by Kelly Robson. It is a novella and it takes place in 2227.
Yeah.
I think I'm adding extra twos there.
You are. That's too far.
2227. Uh-huh. We're human. It's this like far future sci-fi where humans are just starting to live on the Earth's surface again. And they have to do some archaeology and research to figure out how life used to be. So again, it's kind of like Sleeping Giants where it is set on Earth, but it's set so far in the future that it almost feels like a different planet. And the research also involves some time travel. So they're trying to figure out basically like how people back in our time had the Earth be habitable. It's very fun. It's very unique. It's a very quick read, but it is technically space archaeology. So that's Gods, Monsters, and the Lucky Peach by Kelly Robson.
And I'm saying Blindsight by Peter Watts and Sleeping Giants by Sylvain Neuvel.
If you want us to answer your recommendation request, send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. As always, we want to thank the wonderful mods who run our Facebook group. And remember, it's spring. You're like, wow, it's so warm out. If only I had a cool tank top or a cool t-shirt to show off how bookish I am. We got you covered. Check out our Void March store. There's a link in the show notes for that. There's all kinds of great designs that will support our hungry animals. And if you like the show, please rate and review us on the podcast listening app of your choice. It's great for us and helps us reach more readers. You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com, on Instagram at readingglassespodcast. Thanks for listening. And thanks for
reading.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.